It was bound to happen. The professoriate has risen in opposition to online education. Philosophy professors at San Jose State University said they refuse to use material from online courses taught by Harvard professor Michael Sandel for fear administrators were angling to cut departmental expenses. Duke University professors voted against online courses by suggesting these programs do not offer self-paced learning, nor do they include the responsiveness of a professor who teaches to the passions and curiosities of students. In every instance where rejection of online courses occurred, professors bent over backwards to assert that they don't oppose online technology. Only the collaboration with an outside vendor that might pose a threat to their principles. That appears to be a rationalization. In frank discussion, professors invariably raise the issue of replacement and the dismantling of departments. Some critics contend that two classes of universities could emerge. One, well-funded colleges, in which students get their own professors. The others, financially stressed colleges, in which students take online courses. Of course, this picture is exaggerated, but it is conceivable that online programs could put marginal institutions into a parlous economic state. Duke's faculty members drew a line in the sand indicating that online courses are fine, but at Duke, they will not be credit-bearing. The San Jose State University faculty members were far more direct in attributing motivation to the online experience. In their mind, online, even blended courses, are an outright effort to restructure the American higher education system in general, and our California State University system in particular. As they see it, this experiment hasn't pedagogical value. It is merely a financially driven innovation to cut costs. There isn't any question that online courses have financial implications. There is some justifiable fear that faculty members share. In some sense, however, this resistance is comparable, metaphorically, to the way horses reacted to the tractor. Horses became anachronistic the day tractors were used to plow the fields. One could argue that there isn't a need for the duplication of so many professors across the higher education landscape now that a technology can provide a quality offering to thousands in different locations and with vastly different schedules. One need not be bound by geography or the clock. Some of the criticism directed at online courses could apply to conventional course offerings. In some instances, students there will be curious and even evoke a desire for further learning. Other courses will be boring, demanding little from students but an attenuated yawn. The key, of course, is finding the best that is known and the best that can be delivered. Thank you, Matthew Arnold. Ultimately, a professor who inspires students cannot have a value attached to his efforts. But how many fall into that category? Moreover, how many universities are really needed? And as a corollary, validation of skill and knowledge should be seen as more important than seat time. As a consequence, opening degrees or a validation process to a variety of options makes sense on any number of levels. The resistance movement is in full swing, but where we'll get the professoriate remains to be seen. I'm betting on the technology. Universities have been entrenched in antediluvian approaches for too long. A new day is dawning, and the horses are very uneasy.